Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We're talking about diabetes, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Our guest today, Dr. Mona Morstein, who's a naturopathic physician. She has been a teacher at naturopathic colleges, and now she's in private practice. Tell us about your practice, and do you accept patients who are in other states? Because many of our listeners, you're out west, right?
I'm in Tempe, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have, yeah, I mean, of course we prefer people fly in to see, but I do accept patients from really all over the world.
Mm-hmm. So they'll consult with you. Do you do, mm-hmm. you know, phone consults or telemedicine? Or
I do Zoom video conferencing, mm-hmm. yeah. Since that's HIPAA certified.
Yeah, I have that capability as well. Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about, before we get into supplements, which I think a lot of people, that's news you can use for a lot of people. Let's talk about some other aspects of lifestyle. First, let's tackle something that people don't suspect plays a big role in blood sugar control, but it really turns out it does, which is sleep, right?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And certainly, of course, obstructive sleep apnea, which is not an uncommon problem in our type 2 diabetics. And if people have obstructive sleep apnea or just in general have poor sleep, hormonal changes in them will encourage a lack of appetite and cravings for carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm. It changes adiponectin, right?
In this regard, it's mostly with cortisol, mm-hmm. Leptin, and ghrelin.
Okay.
So when we get people sleeping better, they're going to see their appetite is, and not only that, but remember, their risk of cardiovascular disease decreases. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a lot of things happen when we, so if I have an overweight, you know, person in general, and they say they snore, that's it. It's kind of my automatic, even if they don't mm-hmm. know they're tired during the day, they snore, we're going to have to send them for a sleep study.
Absolutely. And a related problem is stress. Now, how can, you know, it's stressful being diabetic, but how does stress set the stage for blood sugar abnormalities?
Well, we do, you know, yes, you've hit it on the head. Stress can aggravate glucose numbers, and it can also lead to emotional eating. Mm-hmm. When people don't have good resources to manage what they feel are overwhelming situations.
They become disorganized, and you know, and it takes work to overcome this. You need to have a balanced and regular lifestyle, and you know, actually have time for self care. That's why I sometimes encourage patients to take a leave of absence from work for a while, if possible, or you know, cool it on responsibilities, maybe offload parental responsibilities to some extent. When possible, so that they can begin to get organized, because this is a campaign. This is like a waging war to turn things around.
Yeah, and there are a lot of different ways patients can start using techniques to feel that they have better control of how stress affects them. And some of it is just going through them all and having patients really pick and choose what areas resonate with them, and they can easily, you know, fit into their lives. Otherwise, it can be a problem, not just for raising the blood sugar and potentially interfering with weight loss, but like I say, getting into some abnormal eating patterns or that are just going to torpedo the protocol we're trying to establish.
And of course, there's exercise, and there's actually some studies which look at the relative efficacy of aerobic exercise versus strength training for diabetes. And it appears that a sort of a balance between those two components is sort of the sweet spot, right?
I believe so. We certainly know that aerobic exercise certainly scientifically reduces your risk for cardiovascular disease. There's no doubt about it, just getting out, and also deep vein thrombosis, and it is good for people to, you know, to push their heart in this consistent aerobic exercise. But in terms of really getting the blood sugar down and building muscle, which is also very important when you're losing weight, so we don't lose muscle in the weight loss. That's resistance. Mm. Yes, definitely.
Because there are two big problems. There's a big fat diabetic, and that's a problem. But when I see a little skinny, frail diabetic, that's also a problem, right? Because the muscles act as sort of a reservoir for blood sugar, glucagon, right? And not glucagon, the storage form of...
insulin like growth factor 1.
IGF-1 is part of that.
IGF-1, yeah.
But...
absolutely. You know, muscles are the number one...
glycogen is what I mean. Yeah, they're glycogen depots.
Oh, glycogen, yes.
Yeah. So that you can, if you have very little muscle mass, you have very little that separates you a few hours after you eat from plummeting blood sugar.
You mean talking about a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic?
My impression is, you know, even in an ordinary person, is that developing more muscle helps with having glycogen depots that actually help to store sugar to some extent to balance blood sugar.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps people. I mean, for me, I like people to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, and then have a 12-hour fast from supper to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And for people to easily, conveniently do this, obviously it's nice if they're having blood sugar come out well in between meals to maintain their energy and, you know, get them from one meal to the next, for sure, and get them from supper to breakfast.
Right. So, I mean, that is part and parcel of Dr. Bernstein's regimen, is he's all about strength training, in older patients with type 1 diabetes, because the more muscle mass you have, the more defended you are from ups and downs of blood sugar. That seems to be the case. I'm not sure the biochemical rationale, perhaps you know.
I agree. We know scientifically that no matter how old you get, you can always build muscle. And that is going to just have people feel energized, feel better. It's going to help their mood. It's going to help their blood sugar. It does everything, you know, that we want it to be doing.
Okay, a lot of our listeners are interested in news they can use about specific supplements, and you have a very lengthy section in the book about supplements. And so let's start with vitamins and minerals. There are many that play a role, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, supplementation is required for people being treated for integrative diabetes, even though the ADA doesn't believe supplements are important, but for everybody else, we do. And, you know, the ADA sponsors a journal called Diabetes Care, which actually has done has published many studies showing how simple nutrients can have a really significant effect on people with diabetes and hypertension and neuropathy.
For our listeners, the ADA journal would be the Bible for registered dietitians, who are mostly the ones who are empowered to deliver nutritional information in conventional medicine settings. You go to the endocrinologist, they say, well, go see the RD down the hall.
Right.
But they often subscribe to sort of a stripped down version of what you need to take if you're diabetic.
Well, I don't think it's very rare I ever see any patient on good supplement protocols from their conventional care system, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's personally. They need to be on a good multiple. They need to be, and the multiple with good Bs and all of the vitamins and minerals. Now, if we're doing some, lab work that is showing they're deficient in this or that nutrient, we may need to individually give them a little more of it. But we need a good multiple that's not a one a day. And it's not made with crappy, absorption products. It's like six a day, and they're getting everything they need in that product for a good daily vitamin, mineral, antioxidant supplement. They also need fish oil. I'm pretty clear on all my patients getting a fish oil product.
And, there actually was a little controversy on fish oil. Maybe you can address it, because there was one study that suggested by adding fish oil to your diet, you could actually raise blood sugar under some circumstances. And I saw that study and I said, fish oil is a little caloric. If you don't change your diet, maybe adjust it, adding fish oil might just add more calories. But is there any basis for believing that it could send things the wrong way?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so. I've never seen it.
Okay.
And who knows what those patients were eating or doing. You know, a lot of time they just have people eating whatever they want. They give them fish oils. They're like, oh, look, they have bad fish. You know, maybe because people might think, oh, I'm on a fish oil, so now I can eat whatever I want.
Exactly.
You know, because that's not, you know, regimented in so many of these studies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have never seen fish oils be a problem in that regard, you know, with patients. Go ahead.
To simplify things, you've actually come up with your own product, which is called Diamend. And
right.
Can you tell us about that product? And is this something that's generally available?
Diamend is available through the company Priority One. It's designed to be prescribed by an integrative physician.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure who knows what you can get online, mm-hmm. at this point in time. But, you know, what we wanted to do...
We should talk afterwards about how I can get a hold of that for my patients.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. You can just order it from Priority One, or you can... I don't know if you get any from distributors like Natural mm-hmm. Partners or Emerson Ecologics.
Yeah, I use Fullscript. I'm not sure that it's available on Fullscript.
Oh, yes, Fullscript. It sure is.
Oh, excellent.
It sure is.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
That's great. I will include it in my dispensary.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, they were terrific with getting that in there.
Good. Okay.
You know, so what we wanted was one bottle that had therapeutic doses of many of the leading edge, you know, scientifically proven supplements such as alpha-lipoic acid, benfotiamine, N-acetylcysteine, turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just these bilberry.
And benfotiamine is something that seems to me it's particularly helpful for the nerves, right? It helps somewhat to prevent diabetic neuropathy, or is that
actually the studies show neuropathy, but also nephropathy, kidney disease, and retinopathy, eye disease.
Wow, very cool.
So, yeah, it's got a very, like alpha-lipoic acid does, a broad-based mm-hmm. antioxidant mm-hmm. That also helps the liver, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got the alpha-lipoic acid, and the NAC, because most diabetic type 2 patients have fatty liver,
mm-hmm.
which is the number one most chronic liver condition in the United States
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Yep.
So supporting the liver so it doesn't get into a lot of inflammation and damage.
And in fact, some of the diabetes medications can worsen fatty liver. Isn't that the case?
Only if they increase your insulin resistance, you know, and mm-hmm. cause more weight gain,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the TZDs, the sulfonylureas, metiglinides, and insulin.
Mm-hmm. So that's oral medications and insulin to some extent.
Right.
So, all right. So among the herbal ingredients, you know, there are many things that are touted as being helpful. Bitter melon, for example.
Right.
And could you run some of those down for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, in my practice over time, you know, as I, I found personally that Gymnema sylvester worked mm-hmm. a lot better than bitter melon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I have focused on in my practice is quite a huge dose of Gymnema sylvester in the Diamend, and also berberine as
berberine
well.
Berberine is very popular as well because it's in some toe-to-toe comparisons with metformin. It's actually been shown to be as efficacious, right?
Yes, it's as efficacious. And it's also got other liver protectants and, you know, it expands from the insulin resistance aspect in the cells, but it, you know, also adds some other things as well.
Mm-hmm. So those are some important components along with things like garlic and cinnamon as well. Well, do you have to take massive amounts of cinnamon for it to be effective? Is it practical?
The studies showed, they used 1, 3, 6 grams, and the 1 gram, seemed to be still efficacious, as well.
Mm-hmm.
People can either add it into their diet as it is. actually, there isn't cinnamon in the diamond. I just thought people could, you know, add it in if they wanted.
It would just be to make too massive a pill.
But there are people that you could certainly take it if you wanted. When I wanted to, you know, the berberine, the lipoic, the gymnema, mm-hmm. benfotiamine, I love the bilberry for the eyes. And then, of course, a little turmeric. And, I mean, you know, this is, you know, turmeric is so beneficial because so much insulin resistance is driven by inflammatory markers.
Right. And it turns out that sometimes when people are, and a good example is when people get sick, their blood sugar deteriorates because there's inflammation. Or even in a case of as simple as patients who have gum disease, that may trigger generalized systemic inflammation. And, of course, you know, taking care of your teeth is important because, you know, gum disease can alter your blood sugar.
And I don't think, you know, so yeah, I mean, in my first office visit, you know, how often do you brush? Do you use an electric? How often do you floss? How often do you see your dentist? Have you ever had any gingivitis? Or if I have a patient hasn't been to the dentist for 2 years, before I see them again, they need to get to the dentist. Mm-hmm. You cannot fool around with oral health care and controlling diabetes and preventing cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. They are very intimately linked.
So one other area is the gut. And, you know, recently it's been demonstrated that for patients who are diabetic, it was long been recommended that they take artificial sweeteners. Artificial sweeteners deliver the taste without the calories, and hence they're thought to be perfect for diabetics. But now it's recognized that they may alter the microbiome, thus setting the stage for insulin resistance and even blood sugar abnormalities.
Right. And of course, a lot of those studies have been with, you know, the more chemical ones, the, you know, aspartame, sucralose, and so forth. Does it translate to stevia, to xylitol, to
That's a good
Lohan?
Question. Yeah.
And, you know, those are what now, you know, I don't see that using a little stevia is this huge roadblock to my patients, you know, getting their blood sugars under control. But, you know, we haven't had really, we really haven't had a lot of studies. And, you know, the thing is this. The idea with artificial sweeteners is to not keep your taste buds on to eating, you know, sugary things. Because
right.
you stay attuned to
that sugary stimulus,
right.
And then you never get free of it.
Exactly. So you want to use a little here or there, but we don't want people just dumping, even right now as we call them, the natural sweeteners into their everything that they're doing. Well, that's going to work against them.
Yeah, I sometimes see the ads on TV for the so-called diet foods, and they look at, you know, they've got the cheesecake, they've got the chocolate chip cookies, and, you know, you kind of have to alter fundamentally the way you think about food and stop thinking about grazing, snacking, and, you know, a lot of gratification around desserts, and shift the emphasis towards, you know, healthy, wholesome foods, because otherwise you're going to sort of snap back into the old habits.
Totally. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
That's why we say, you know, a low-carb whole foods diet, you know, so not just, you know, like using one of those companies and getting really crappy food that the only reason it works is that they give you so little of it to eat.
Right.
But you're not replenishing your nutrients, you're not balancing your hormones, you're not doing anything at the key foundational aspect of what good nutrition can do for the body.
Or feeding your microbiome healthy fibers, which
right,
cause good
feeding,
bacteria
yes,
to thrive.
Yes, which is why I do, that would be the fourth supplement. All of my low-carb patients, they have to be on a fiber powder. In fact, there was a very good study saying a low-carb, higher protein fat diet actually negatively changed the microbiome. They produced less bacteria that produced less butyrate. So these short-chain fatty acids are the foods of the colon, prevent colon cancer. Also, short-chain fatty acids can go, you know, reduce inflammation. So we've got to make sure that we're putting in that fiber when we're taking out the grains.
Yeah, that's important because it's a paradox. Yeah, you want to keep the carbs down, but you also don't want to deprive the intestines of literally food for the beneficial bacteria. So that's
right, exactly, and that'll certainly work against people, you know, long term.
Right. All right. Well, you know, the book is very comprehensive, and I recommend it highly, both for our Intelligent Medicine listeners who are concerned about diabetes. Perhaps you've got a relative with diabetes and you want to help them out. And also,
if I could just say, do you mind if I just have a 10? The only other thing we didn't really talk about is the environmental toxins.
Yeah, let's go into that. Sure.
You know, what we know from science, even the World Health Organization says that arsenic and lead cause insulin resistance and damage, and arsenic can damage the pancreas and cause diabetes.
Well, there are foods that, there are actually chemicals called obesogens, literally.
Yes, obesogens and diabetogens, and these are some of what we call the persistent organic pollutants. And so we've got to make sure, you know, one aspect of working with people with diabetes is teaching them how to clean their homes, their environments out of these chemicals and just get them and then initiate, even if they're just doing regular saunas, you know, just getting, because saunas, sweating is a fantastic way to detoxify. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge part. If we look at environmental chemicals, this is a leading cause of both type 2 for sure and maybe type 1 increasing around the world.
Mm-hmm. Because of the alterations in the immune system, you know, it might be the air pollution, it might be vaccines, it might be improper breastfeeding approaches and or early introduction of the wrong kinds of foods, early antibiotics, any number of things can trigger an autoimmune response. And this gives us a chance to talk of one final nutrient that we really should emphasize. We're sort of given it short shrift, which is vitamin D. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, we've got to check vitamin D on all patients. And I, you know, I'm happy, honestly, if it's between 40 and 60, and I know there are some integrative physicians, it's got to be 50, 80, whatever.
Yeah.
I honestly don't see blood sugar is any better controlled at 45 or 55, but we do,
thank you.
So, but we do want to make, since it is intimately related to glucose regulation and metabolism, and also mood and immune system, we do want to make sure that they're certainly not deficient in it.
Mm-hmm. It's a key nutrient. All right, so what's today's Intelligent Medicine take-home message? First of all, get the book. It's available from the usual sources. It's entitled Master Your Diabetes. The author, Mona Morstein, M-O-R-S-T-E-I-N.
N.
And do you have a website?
I do. It's kind of a weird website, but it's azimsolutions.com. My clinic is called Arizona Integrative Medical Solutions in Tempe, Arizona.
So azimsolutions.
Yes.
.com. Okay.
Yep.
Great. And there's probably information about the book and the services that you offer. And I hope that some of our listeners get a second opinion from you on management of their conditions, because we could certainly do a lot better with our approach to diabetes in this country, and your book lays out the proposition beautifully.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. I really appreciate
it. It's been
a great
pleasure.
Appreciate this. Yeah.
And congratulations on the book. All the best. And I will stock Diamend as part of my full script prescription for patients with blood sugar issues. That's great that it's available via that online supplement outlet. Okay, thanks for joining us. I'm Dr.
Thank
Ronald
you.
Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.